Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Colin Markovich, joined today by...
Jake Rich, managing editor.
Maxine,
for features editor.
Estefania Zawala, assistant news editor.
Welcome to the newsroom, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good.
I had a little trouble with the title there. We just did staff transitions, and I was used to saying production manager.
So you had a little bit of hesitation there. I was like, yes. Wait a second, What's going on? And this is Estefania's first time in the newsroom. Welcome to the newsroom, Estefania.
Thank you. I had no trouble with the title because before I was just a regular human.
And now you have something to live for.
So it's going to be a fun time. I think, Maxine, you've been here. When was the last time you were here, Maxine?
2 weeks ago. Not last week when you guys did the senior write-offs, but the one before.
Right? Those were sad.
Yes, I did not want to be present because I would be a wreck. So let's not.
I mentioned last week when we did those that, everybody in the newsroom and that was there that time was a senior saying goodbye. So my sign-off was see you next week, and I'm be the only one here. So hello, if you listened last week. I am the only one back. They didn't survive.
The one left standing.
We don't talk about that, Jake. Shh.
It's all gone.
Nobody has to know what happened to them.
No tears anymore.
But we'll go ahead and get started. I think we want to start things first off with our front page story this week, which is about UCR students proposing a gender studies requirement. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's just saying that UCR students need to take some sort of gender studies class before they graduate, a la the ethnic studies class that is required of UCR students. According to a backer of the proposal, it's, quote, meant to raise awareness of conflicts related to gender and sexuality. Sexuality.
So it's very sensual.
I'm going to try this and make this entire radio show as sensual as possible, Maxine.
You're off to a great start.
But anyway, guys, what do you guys think about this push? What do you guys think about this potential requirement?
I think it's a good one, theoretically. However,
that's a good point.
Yeah, I think I have taken gender studies classes that have been already offered just for upper-div electives, which a lot of people have, and people do it willingly and they rather enjoy it. However, when you make it a requirement and put the people who do not want to be in there just for another push against graduation, they're going to go in thinking one thing and they're going to come out pretty much the same way, just a little more rebellious because they don't want to be in there.
I agree. I don't think that the gender requirement should pass just because I don't even think the professors would take it seriously. Like, I've taken ethnic studies classes and the professors don't want to be there either. They hate teaching like 500 students.
When I have to take it next quarter.
Oh, yeah.
It's something interesting that I've found is that, you know, I'm kind of on their side, but something interesting is I'm sure it's true for some other humanities majors as well, but as a media and cultural studies major, a lot of my classes have incorporated, while it's not a direct gender studies requirement, there's been a lot of, in English as well, there's a lot of talk about gender in the media and gender in literature for my two majors that have brought up my awareness on gender studies in general from those viewpoints.
Well, regardless of whether or not it's a requirement, maybe do we think it's a good or a bad idea for people to just take a course while they're here?
That's a good idea.
I really think so, because I think it needs to open up eyes. And I mean, that's why we're in a UC to begin with, because it is a research-based university and we need to be more well-rounded. And that's why we take ethnic studies and a religious studies, and it's offered because people want to know more. And I think just to be more adequate, I guess, and up to date with what,
to be a good person,
yeah, just to be in the know, I guess, if you will, then they should take it, because there is a lot to know. And before going in, I thought I knew a lot. 2 days after, I had no idea, and I walked out knowing a lot more, and I appreciated it.
I think the breadth requirement aspect actually kind of diminishes the study, because Jake, you mentioned that you're media and English, so you already know a lot about genders, and you get that in like all of your courses. Mm-hmm. So if you took like a breath requirement class, I think you'd be bored because
it'd be review.
It would all be review for you.
Well, depending on which direction that the class is taught, and it could have different topics and.
Yeah, I'm interested because would it be like, does that mean history or how to navigate it in society or in relation to media or literature?
Yeah,
or,
I mean, there could be multiple, like, multiple topics.
And it
topics.
Would depend on the professor a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be just, like, completely review every single course that you take. So there could be different ways. But, yeah.
It's kind of interesting because, I mean, where we're kind of going with it is that it sounds a little bit like what UCLA recently proposed. We recently wrote an editorial on this. Is UCLA is the chancellor at UCLA is proposing that the university have a diversity requirement. But the way it would work is that it's not like under a separate department, but there would be a number of classes in other departments that would be eligible to count as like this diversity requirement. So
kinda
they could
like
be history or media cultural studies. Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe if it's done in a way that's, it's not its own class, but is like, or like you could take that own class if you wanted to, but it's also like it collapsed into maybe an English class that also talks about, you know, sexuality in literature from 1800 to 1850, or that talks about like the role of gender in Alfred Hitchcock movies, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, something interesting is, it's like, I mean, even in voice back. I'm 12. Even in a Warlit class that I took earlier this year, there was, I mean, more than just one book. There was like one book that was like all about like swingers and stuff in World War II, and that, I mean, Stephanie, you can back me up on that too.
Yeah.
Like it was all about gender. And how that affected stuff.
Yeah, like there are classes that have like the 1 week on queer studies. So maybe what these classes would do is just make it more than 1 week.
Yeah.
So that's good.
One of the things that was interesting is that the idea kind of came up in a class taught by Professor Jane Warden. I think, Maxine, did you have a class with her?
I was actually in that class that she proposed it to, and how the entire department, who she happens to be the chair of, that was really urging for this. And that was last quarter, so I guess 1 quarter later she was put in the works.
And I think it came on the heels of there was a funhouse that came to UCR, the Adult Swim Funhouse.
Yes.
And one of the things that a lot of people complained about after the house came to the campus was that one of the exits looked like it was a pair of inflatable, what appeared to be a pair of inflatable women's legs, and then that was like right over a hospital bed. And so then people who were exiting the funhouse were getting publicly birthed, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. That was how the adults was promoting it, and they would like post your pictures to Facebook with you coming out of you know.
So her main argument was that the fun house or Adult Swim was exploiting women's bodies and basically using it as an amusement park and using it for fun. But what really got heated was that the day that it was put up, they were doing the tours of high school and junior highs, and they saw that. It was also the same day that a new professor that was going into the women's studies was taking a tour of campus and happened to see that. And she, she basically was saying that it was an unfit and unsafe environment that could potentially threaten females. So,
Professor Neary said it was sending the wrong image of what a woman should be like. Just birthing machines.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe this sounds bad coming from a male, but isn't there a line like where it's a joke and it's exploiting things? Like maybe I have ignorance on this. If it is, feel free to like point it out. But I wouldn't mind if there was like some ridiculous penis like doing something out there. I don't know that. That just seems like an unfortunate circumstance and timing.
Yeah.
No, let's not go there.
The only difference, however, though, is if you do have male genitalia versus women's, is that if you do publicly show it, even in like on movies or television, that automatically gets a rated X. However, if you happen to show a woman's body parts on the chest area, that does not. if you happen to show mm-hmm. a glimpse over the bottom, that does not. So that's why I think it's a little, that's why people happen to do it more for
more
the woman, for women, because yeah. men's automatic x-rated won't be allowed. Women's, however, you could do, I don't want to say whatever, and I am a huge feminist, so
yeah.
So I'm saying that's why a lot of
I'm not in favor of like you
no
know,
no definitely. So I'm saying
definitely not.
I'm definitely saying that it wasn't right, and mm-hmm. some people will be like, oh, it's a joke. Others are going to be on the other complete opposite side, saying no, it's not. Don't take this lightly. I had no problem. I actually went through. I had no idea. I went through the funhouse, exited, and. Found myself on a gurney. I'm like, this is interesting. And then when I was told to look up, I'm like, wow, okay. But I, like you, I just took it as a fun. It was just all in fun. I really don't think that they, if it was their hidden intentions, shame on them. But I don't. Yeah. I really don't think that it was done mischievously or anything like that.
Well, as a male chauvinist pig, I first want to say that I think that there are a lot of people. I mean, just speaking briefly on the funhouse, that I don't think that. I think that it was okay, that it could have been handled, I think, a little more tactfully by Adult Swim and that the other people who were helping putting the event on. But does this, you guys think, indicate like that UCR needs to have some sort of gender studies thing? Like, is this indicative of like a broader atmosphere on campus, or is it kind of like a one-off thing?
I think it's going to just make more people more aware and understand where we're coming from, because of it seems that everyone in here seems to be at least a little bit knowledgeable about what's right and what's wrong, what can be considered a joke and what's maybe pushing the boundaries. So if everybody could maybe get on the same page, then they'll all be a little bit more aware. And then when they do see this fun house, they could be, that's funny, or they could be, it's fun and everything, but whatever. The only question that I have regarding the making a requirement is when she proposed it last quarter, Jane Ward, she said it would be for humanities majors, the mainly Chas mm-hmm. College, not making it for BCOE or CNAS. Mm-hmm. I'm very strongly against that, because CNAS already doesn't have to take a lot of the requirements that Chas already does, which in fact Chas majors are already almost inclined to take these different classes because it just is more appealing to them. And again, they have a lot more breadth requirements, so they could just fulfill them with these. So that's why I'm really questioning why it wouldn't be across the board for every single college, Chas, CNAS, and everything. So is there any...
Yeah, I think it would be a complete waste for Chas majors, because we already have to take so many classes
exactly.
that deal with gender. Mm-hmm. And as for... whether the funhouse says that we need a gender requirement. I mean, I think a lot of people could take a gender breath course and come out of it the same way. Like, if people are prejudiced, I don't think that's going
to change
anything. Yeah. Yeah, it's not the university's job to make their students better human beings.
Yeah.
And maybe ethnic studies does, like, educate people on how to be... more aware of racial differences, but I don't think it really makes anyone any less racist.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna put in what you're gonna get out. It's the same. I mean, professors say it all the time to students, and it's like having someone being required to take a math class and doing it, barely passing it, and walking out not knowing a thing because they really didn't. It just they really didn't give
that was
a
me
hoot.
With I gave a hoot, but that was me with computer programming. I don't remember. That much of it. It was
exactly.
very difficult for me.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, could you say that it was worth a zero? Because computers are in ones and zeros.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Right
sorry,
over the head.
Sorry, guys. that kind of brings me, though, is that, like, when people took an ethnic studies class, did you guys actually, like, get something out of it?
I haven't taken one yet.
Fair enough.
Honestly, no.
I actually did. I took the one that was like crossed over from religious studies and ethnic studies. And I mean, I thought it was rather interesting. That's why I picked that class. Granted, if I were to pick another class to fulfill it, maybe not. But I actually look into what's going to be taught, the curriculum and the course overview, if mm-hmm. you will. So I liked it.
And actually, to speak to that, and I am currently taking a religious studies class. If you want to count that on the same kind of level as ethnic studies, and I'm getting something out of it. Like I'm learning, like I haven't learned as much about, you know, religion as I have in that class before. So different religions.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's definitely something that's going to continue to be discussed and talked about, and it has to be proposed to the Academic Senate, and the Academic Senate has to approve it before anything happens. So we have yet to see what will go with that, but it's something that's in the works and may yet happen. I've got no segue for this other than the fact that a segue is a form of transportation, sort of, and we are now going to be talking about traffic, and traffic has to do with transportation, guys.
Yes.
So has anybody driven the 91 on Sunday?
I did.
So then you probably know. Yes. How much traffic was present that day.
Yeah, it took me to get from Corona, the El Cerrito exit in Corona, you know, the 15th to 91, to downtown Riverside, or to UCR, it took me 2.5 hours.
Dang.
When it usually takes me, with no traffic, about 23 to 24 minutes.
How did you spend your extra 2 hour time sitting in your car? Like, what did you accomplish?
Other than raging.
I did not break any laws, looking at my phone at all. Because, you know, that's illegal.
of course not.
I listened to music and thought about how long it was taking. And then I looked.
How many albums did you get through?
I actually skipped around. So I probably could have gotten through like 2 or 3, oh maybe 4. God. But I skipped around quite a bit.
Mm. Jeez.
And, yeah.
Well, the reason that the traffic was so horrible is that what happened, well, speaking, we're talking about traffic, and it's obviously popular to discuss how traffic is horrible, but what caused it is a 59-year-old construction worker. He was working on demolishing a railroad bridge around the 91, and it collapsed, and he died. The ambulance came by, and they dropped him off at the hospital, and he was pronounced dead 45 minutes after the crash happened. It was the demolition project itself was part of a project to add 2 carpool lanes to the freeway. It's part of the ongoing construction in the 91, which is another thing to talk about is all the construction that's going on in the 91 as well. There's a lot of construction going on the 91.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember driving here my freshman year, right before it started, and there were like 4 or 5 lanes. I was like, oh, this is nice. And then like almost at the very beginning of my freshman year is like, it got cut down to 3 lanes because of construction. Traffic's been terrible there ever since. It was kind of weird today, though, because I spent the night before, and I didn't get a chance to drive back here. But this morning, I was driving to school, and I drove beneath the bridge, and I felt just kind of weird. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to do that like every single day. And it was a bit eerie.
His ghost lingers on.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, I'm not going down there anymore.
Does anybody actually like drive the 91 besides Jake here? Or
I have before. It could be one of my routes. But like he said, once it was cut down into 3 lanes, there was no purpose. It's just horrible.
I could take the 15 to the 60 if I had to.
15 is not much better, though.
Yeah, the bridges. Or it was on fire.
Oh, that's right.
2 weeks ago. Yeah, Civil War literature class got canceled.
Hopefully everything was okay, but at least got canceled.
Yeah. class got canceled. Success.
The highway shouldn't have to be on fire for my class to get canceled.
So is this part of a larger conspiracy with the freeways in Southern California? First one sets on fire, then a bridge collapses. What do you guys think is next? And which
Godzilla.
Freeway do you hope it'll happen?
Godzilla.
Yeah.
I just saw Godzilla. It was good.
I just hope, like, because it's such a commuter school, UCR is like a really big commuter school, and it's just going to affect it dramatically. And if that affects attendance, is that going to affect grades? Is that going to affect
teeth?
Like and I don't know if some professors are cool, but others, I really don't see them. They're like, oh, you're not here. You should have left 2 hours instead of for a 20-minute drive. Mm-hmm. Sorry. So, I don't know.
Yeah, thankfully it was on a Sunday, so I was only late to Highlander production instead, where you all are nice.
I really wish we could have gotten a recording of you, like, walking in. You just looked enraged and walking so fast.
I was. It was I just sat in 2.5 hours in a hot car, and I was just like, yeah. I mean, I had AC, but still.
It's done. I'm done.
I stood up while editing articles just because I had been sitting for too long.
I don't blame you. It's like, that's what happens after you sit in the car for like hours and hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And that's the weird thing about driving for so long is that it's physically tiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your eyes start to droop. And it's different from like driving where you're like passing people versus sitting in a, versus just sitting there. Because you're literally just have your foot on a pedal, or you could turn off your car and you're just sitting there.
No, there's like, I put it in park at least once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for living down the street and a 5-minute walk away.
Lucky you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Don't take it for granted.
You out there listening right now, you can't see, but everybody's eyes are now looking at Stephania, and we're all like jealous.
Terrifying experience.
And for all of you listeners out there, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom at KUCR 88.3 FM, the people behind the paper.
In Riverside.
In Riverside, California, yes. One of the...
also streaming online at KUCR.org.
KUCR is a place of many... it's got many platforms.
We're multicultural. We go all over.
One of the more interesting things that happened at UCR last week was actually the Media and Cultural Studies Film Festival.
Yes.
The second... I believe it's the second annual, right? Our very own Jake Rich, managing editor, was there. Tell us about it. How'd it go?
Well, it went really well. I didn't go to the one last year, so this was my first time attending. It was actually kind of sort of a 2-day, sort of a 3-day event. The first day was at the UV. They had at the UV Theater. I'm not sure what brand it's under now, whatever it's called. They had it was free to the public, and they had a theater open with a little platform at the bottom for people to speak. And they showed a total of, I believe, 18 short films introduced by Professor Burl here on campus and another student MC, and they had one little 10-minute intermission in between, but it was a very fun night where I'd say at least 150 people or so were in the theater, it was a packed house and it was really fun.
And you had your own film that you presented?
I did. Nobody actually went down and introduced their films, but I had a mockumentary in it about the Occupy movement.
Oh.
And it was nominated for best. It's funny because me and the other people that made it in a documentary class, but he allowed us to make a mockumentary. So when we entered it into the contest, the film festival, it was nominated for best comedy instead of best documentary. And that kind of segues into the next day. Day two was on Saturday, I believe. Or Friday. It was on Friday. And there was a little awards ceremony over in INTS. There first was like a little, food platter meet and greet thing to people just talking. And then there's a little red carpet. And then there's like presentations with, opening the envelopes, just like, the Oscars or whatever. And everybody got these nice little glass plaques.
Oh.
It was a cool thing. And it all culminated. I didn't get to go. But with Danny Glover speaking downtown at the convention center, it was pitched as like a conversation with him and MCS students and faculty and stuff like that.
Hmm. So for those people who missed out on Heat canceled, you could have gone to see Donald Glover.
Danny Glover.
Oh, different Glover. Oh no.
Not. The actor, not the not the rapper and actor. The other actor, not the rapper actor. Yes.
The raptor.
I'm very ashamed. I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay.
So how was the people that there was some nominees that won, I think. There was one that was a documentary on 9/11.
Yeah, that person actually came from my class. That was a really good documentary. There was also the categories were like documentary, best overall film. I think there's one for cinematography, best story. And then there was comedy/horror, all in one category.
Because comedy and horror are obviously the exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess depending on what movie you watch, it could be.
And then I can't remember the other ones, but there were a decent amount of categories.
Yeah. Well, I mean, overall, like, was the event awesome? And it's going to be something that's going to happen next year, right?
Yeah, they're planning on expanding it even more next year. Maybe have more films or just make the event overall bigger and more awards and things like that. And so it's a really just a great opportunity for UCR students to kind of allow or for us to be able to show that we have a presence in filmmaking and things like this. You know, even though we might not be UCLA or USC, we still know how to do good stuff, and we're culturally conscious and things like that with our films. And yeah,
we got a film culture.
Yes,
it's happening, guys. Mm-hmm. We have it.
Yes, we do. And it's happening.
Yeah. Cool. And actually, another cool event that happened this last week is Laura Ling came to UCR. And Laura Ling, some of you may recognize the name. She's a journalist, an international journalist. And way back in 2009, she was doing some reporting around the Chinese-North Korean border, and inadvertently, like, crossed over into North Korean soil and was captured by the North Koreans and held for long period of time, and she was only rescued when Bill Clinton, of all people, journeyed to North Korea, took a picture with Kim Jong-il, who was president at the time, and then Laura Ling came back to the United States, and she came to speak to UCR students. And Maxine, you were there, right?
Yes.
How was it? How was the event?
It was really interesting. I was very surprised about the turnout. No offense, I really didn't think a lot of people would be enticed to go, but it was held in the University Theater, and I swear almost every single seat was filled. Upon opening the doors, one of the clubs was there. I think Liberty in North Korea was out there, and it was opened by one of the professors. It was the professor who created the API studies. Yeah, the studies. And
Asian Pacific Islander.
Yeah, there you go. He's the one that created that here at UCR. And then the dean of students introduced her. And she basically just went about, she just basically turned from journalist to captive of North Korea, which was what the thing was called, was trapped in North Korea, to the girl that Bill Clinton saved. And it was just, her life before then was so interesting. The stuff that she's done prior to that is, she's literally on the front lines, that she's been to Myanmar discussing about the sex and drug trafficking to the war in narco, and she showed footage from that. And then, like you said, when they're on the border of China and North Korea, she just happened to walk across a frozen river, and the closer that she got, she stepped foot on. 2 seconds later, the soldiers were chasing them, and before she knew it, she was dragged across against her will, kept there for 140 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine what that's like. Like, I mean, we all think, like, finals are like a prison, but, like, being trapped, like, how big was the prison that she was in?
She was held in a 5x6 jail cell for 2 days, and then she was separated from her colleague. After that, it was put in her own room, and she said it wasn't that bad. She had a wooden plank that was her bed. She was given 3 meals a day, which was like fish, rice, whatever. So she's thankful for that. And she would, in the beginning, get beaten by her guards, but then end up eventually creating relationships with them, just to talk and just to have some sort of like one-on-one interaction with them. And then later earned phone calls home, and that's how she ended up calling, like, her sister ended up getting Bill Clinton to come and save her.
It's an extraordinary tale of survival that she came to tell the UCR community, and you can read more about it at our website, helennews.org, or you can pick up a copy of our paper, which is all around campus.
Mm-hmm.
We're running out of time, but this was a fantastic discussion, guys. Thanks for coming. This has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on the show are belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the associated students. Special thanks to Lewis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. And for Jake Rich,
go see the Barn Show tonight. Comedy Apocalypse, John Roberts from Bob's Burgers. It's going to be really fun. and we'll be there. And yeah, come say hi.
Maxine Arellano?
It's week 8, guys. We can do it. It's 2 more weeks and then finals and then we're free. Hallelujah.
Free as Laura Ling from North Korea.
Free, yes. We're on that cage. We're rattling it right now.
Estefania Zavala?
Stay out of traffic and North Korea.
Yeah, good luck.
You heard it here first. Stay out of North Korea. Thanks very much for listening, guys. Have a nice day.